May I take this opportunity to thank our outstanding British Transport Police for everything that they do to support...
She looks... Mr Speaker, she's pointing at me. She looks absolutely miserable. Yeah. Labour MPs... Yeah. She looks absolutely miserable. Labour MPs... How awful for the Chancellor that he couldn't confirm that she would stay in place.
Yeah. May I take this opportunity to thank our outstanding British Transport Police for everything that they do to support staff and passengers.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I'm trying to make myself cry. It's going to take me a while. Far too long to be reasonable for you to have to wait. But hello, and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Despite what the left may say about it being normal and fine, and we should all have sympathy for her, a line has been crossed. In the entire history of the House of Commons, no Minister of the Crown, and indeed, as far as I am aware, no Member of Parliament has ever cried while sitting in the House of Commons. But yet that line was crossed on the 2nd of July 2025. We've had women unconscious with bright purple hair. We've had Angela Rayner flashing atop of her legs. We've had a woman breastfeeding. But a line has now been crossed, and that is... not any Minister of the Crown either, but the Chancellor of the Exchequer, the second most important person in our government, the second most important person in the protection racket that protects our nation from destruction, blubbing in the House of Commons. And this is important, and it's meaningful, and it tells you a great deal. And frankly, it's completely outrageous. And it is what I would like to talk about today. Rachel Reeves is crying. Why it happened, and what it means, particularly from an evolutionary sort of perspective. Before I do that, could you do me a favour, or I'll cry? Could you please subscribe? Could you subscribe on YouTube? Could you leave a comment for the algorithm? Could you leave a like? Could you hit the bell button? Could you spread the article, the video around? And could you subscribe on my Substack? That's jollyheretic.com, where I put all the most based content, in-person interviews, films I make, my vlog, and where, if you like what I do, you could support me for the cost of as little as a pint of beer a month. And I will cry if you don't. I will, and you don't want to see a grown man cry. Okay, back to the video. So, first of all, I want to look at why this has happened, and then I want to look at basically what it means. I've done two articles in the Encyclopedia of Evolution Psychological Science on crying. One is on types of crying, and one is on sex differences in crying. This is partly simply a reflection of the sex difference. It's the sex difference being mixed with, essentially, a woman doing a man's job, in evolutionary terms, because it is men who are evolved to lead an army, to lead a tribe, to lead a coalition, to lead the protection racket that is the government that protects our people, our land, ultimately against destruction at the hands of another people. And that's why people are so outraged by this. It is a protection racket in which you lead our tribe. We place in government the trust that they will be able to keep a level head and protect us at times of national peril. And the Chancellor is the second most important person in that protection racket that is government. Now, women cry more than men, a lot more than men. It's one of the biggest sex differences that exists. Why? Well, first of all, there is fluctuation in estrogen and progesterone and that sort of thing. Rachel Reeves is about 46, and she may well be going through the perimenopause, something like that. So that makes them particularly emotionally labile. Tear ducts are literally bigger and more active in women, so they are more able to cry. Women on average cry about 3 to 5 times a month when they are adults. Men cry 1 to 2 times a month. And when they're adults, I mean middle-range adults, sort of 30 years old, 35 years old, something like that. Women feel the kind of emotions that are going to make you cry more strongly. They are higher in most aspects of neuroticism, and they are higher in neuroticism overall. They are higher, in particular, in feeling sadness. We cry a great deal when we are children. This calms down in boys when they're about 11. They don't cry as much after the age of about 11, and in girls after the age of about 16. Although it goes up, as I will look at in a minute, towards the end of adulthood, before old age, so late middle age. And this is what we are kind of seeing here. Why is it evolved in this way? Well, women are not evolved to produce large-scale coalitions that fight for the good of the group and destroy the enemies, i.e. they're not evolved to run the tribe. That's what men are evolved to do. Women are evolved to look after children. And they are evolved to be part of harems in which they will become close to a small group of women within the harem, their clique, and in which they will strongly bond with those women, semi-lesbiniciously, create very strong bonds, bond via sharing weaknesses and traumas and personal information. Intensely, because the purpose of those cliques is to facilitate other women to help allo-parent each other's children. So there has to be a complete equality, a very strong bond, trust, sharing, that sort of thing. So their purpose then within the group is to maintain cohesion, and this means and to nurture offspring, and this means they have to be extremely emotionally sensitive, more so than men. And they have to show emotions in order to, particularly negative ones, in order to bond with these potential allo parents. Whereas, and this is very important, in men, it is crucial that they don't show those emotions. Men are evolved to essentially produce an army and to keep up morale in the army and to be brave and to make personal sacrifice and to fight to the end. And consequently, in men, being emotionally labile, and in particular, as we will see, crying, would be selected out because it is seen as evidence that you are mentally unstable. It is seen as evidence that you are feminine. It is seen as evidence that you are weak. And this is the fundamental problem with the Chancellor of the Exchequer. Let's be clear, with the female senior figures that we've had that have previously cried in public life, Margaret Thatcher, Theresa May, and I don't know if Liz Truss did, Margaret Thatcher only did it at the point at which she resigned. And then after she had resigned, she let herself go and allowed herself to in interviews to do so because she was so hurt by what happened to her. She managed to keep control of her emotions throughout her time when she actually had power, because it is very bad for you to be crying and showing a lack of emotional control and showing weakness when you are in power, when you are the person we are relying on to protect our group from being destroyed by another group. That completely undermines morale. Similarly, Theresa May managed to keep it in the pants, as it were, until the moment at which she announced her resignation. And at that point, she was so overwhelmed by this terrible time she had. She'd lost it. And she knew she could lose it. She knew that it wouldn't matter if she lost it, because she was on the way out. This, with Rachel Reeves, is a very different situation, as far as I can say. And also, I would say that Thatcher and May, I don't think anyone would say they were overpromoted because they were women. They were masculinized men, at least psychologically, that therefore managed to get into a position of power. This is not the case with Rachel Reeves. Rachel Reeves is not a masculinized man. She's almost certainly been overpromoted because she is a woman, due to Labour's political correctness and wokeness obsession. And so I would say she's much more the kind of average left-wing woman who, like in South Park, you know, strong woman, who goes on about how she's a strong woman and all this, but in reality, it's absolute nonsense. She's not a strong woman. She's just an ordinary woman who makes silly mistakes, like lying about being an economist and all this sort of thing. And she's overpromoted. She's out of her depth. She's uniquely out of her depth. She's not able to cope with what's happening to her. And consequently, like an average woman would do, she breaks down and can't cope and cries. And and in terms of my metaphor, that it's about being an army and being the leader of that army, and it's unacceptable to cry because it's showing weakness, which undermines the morale of the men, and shows you that you are not the kind of person that can be relied upon in a really serious crisis, which you're in, that's why it's a problem. It has literally caused problems that she cried. It has spooked the markets. It has lessened the value of the pound. It has undermined the morale of the society that the deputy leader of its de facto protection racket is not confident and is not conveying a sense of power. That is why it is so unacceptable and so dangerous and such a sign that a line has been crossed in our ever more feminized, ever more decadent society, which doesn't understand that life is a fight and life is a battle, and life is a fight and a battle for your group, your extended genetic family, your ethnic interests. And therefore, the protection racket must be confident. The protection racket must inspire. The protection racket must seem all-powerful. The protection racket must not show weakness. But yet we have the de facto deputy leader in terms of influence of the protection racket doing that. And that is why it is such a problem. Now, part of the crying here, in women, they are more likely to weep than men. They are more likely to have a situation where tears flow, and that's what we saw yesterday, not just become lachrymous. Mrs. Thatcher didn't cry. Theresa May didn't cry. They became lachrymous. They became tearful. They had watery eyes. They didn't cry in public. Of course, they cried in private, but they didn't cry in public. She had cried in public. And crying also increases once you get into, shall we call it, late adulthood? Not old age, but late adulthood. So, you know, middle age to late middle age. And that's what she is. She's almost 50. She may well be going through the menopause or something, or perimenopause. And crying increases at that age, probably because you're weaker. And from an evolutionary perspective, you need to elicit help more if you're weaker. And that's the problem. Crying is a sign of weakness. Children cry and elicit help and compassion because they are weak. And as they become less weak, 11 for boys, 16 for girls, they stop crying quite so much. In their 40s, men will cry 5.5 times on average in the last month. Women, 29.3 times. So you can see that the difference is absolutely enormous. This is the sympathy. But by 70, by the way, it's 16.3 times for men and 31.1 times for women. So these are enormous differences. And this is the sympathetic response. It's literally trying to evoke sympathy from the pack. So you have the quivering, you have the lump in the throat, and eventually you have the tears. When women cry, in 49% of cases, it's because of sadness. 21% of cases because of happiness, I don't know, in tuneness with the emotions of others or something. It is generally a matter, 7% because of sympathy for other people's pain, and 13% for other reasons such as anxiety or fear. But it's this physiological effect. It works in an evolutionary sense that you have anticipation, you have arousal, hyperarousal, you have tension, anticipation, and then the crying releases certain hormones which cause you to feel better. So that's one element of it. That's why you would cry on your own, because it makes you feel better. In terms of crying in front of other people, it signals helplessness, and empirical studies indicate that it prompts people to support you. It's essentially making yourself into a child, into a baby. so that people support you. And again, and that's what she was doing. And I don't know if she meant to do it, but she was triggered by, she's obviously concerned, she's, nothing's going right, she's a terrible chancellor, it's all going wrong, she's concerned that she's going to be humiliated and lose her job and her idea of herself as a strong woman, which how she copes with her negative feelings is going to be destroyed. And you have opposite her a strong woman who doesn't believe in the things that she believes in, Kay Badenoch, who asked the Prime Minister, who highlighted that she looked miserable.
She looks, Mr. Speaker, she's pointing at me, she looks absolutely miserable. Yeah. Labour MPs, yeah, she looks absolutely miserable.
Which was kind of a way of having power over her and humiliating her, and so making it even worse, saying in public to her that, look at you, you're going to cry. It was a very clever thing of Kay Badenoch to do, and she did it quite subtly. Essentially, what she was saying to the her rival was, you're going to cry. You want to cry really badly. A boo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. That's you, that is. That's what she did. And then she asked this question, will the Chancellor be in her job next year? Which, of course, is the reason, essentially, why the Chancellor was so upset. Because she knows it's all going wrong, it's overwhelming, she can't cope. And thus the sympathetic response was elicited, she couldn't help it. And to some extent, she's got what she wants. Because you have all these people saying, oh, don't be nasty to Rachel Reeves, poor Rachel. But in getting the poor Rachel, she's also getting the response, we all know, of weak Rachel. Weak Rachel. As Tony Blair said of John Major, weak, weak, weak. Yeah. And this shows you that she's completely unsuitable for a position of leadership. She's completely unsuitable to help lead the group in times of peril, in group selection. She can't be relied upon. She's not stable. And this is why it spooked the markets. And it's also spooked the markets because they're thinking there'll be a replacement chancellor and it will probably be some left-wing nutter. But it's also just spooked the markets, spooked the nation. It's saying, you know, you have someone weak, at the head of your protection racket that protects you in times of peril. And when we see that, then they have to go. They have to go. It's harsh, but they have to go. This is real life. This is life and death. A government should always be preparing, in evolutionary terms, for war. All the time. The nation that is successful, that survives, is preparing for war. All the time. Always. And so this is why you cannot have, in a war situation, a person who is so emotionally uncontrolled, so overwhelmed by negative emotions, so childlike that in their 40s they cry. It's a quite fascinating thing that has happened yesterday in terms of the decadence of society. It's so crucially symbolic. Historians will look back on it. The day that Rachel Reeves cried to tear Rachel. This is a turning point, and hopefully it will heighten consciousness to the importance of this never being allowed to happen again.
Are you ready for the future of the West?